pray. Father, a short passage with a lot of powerful words from the prophet Malachi. I believe that there is great relevance for our lives today. Help me, by the power of your Spirit, to communicate the truths of this passage of Scripture. If Malachi were here today, I think this complaint would be valid to our culture and to our church. So help us to understand these things and to turn from wickedness and to live holy and set apart lives. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we come now to our fourth message in the book of Malachi, the questions that God has answers for, as last week we looked at the corruption of the priesthood of Israel, how God said, I will curse the priesthood, and I will curse even their children, and I will curse their religious activities because I'm not happy with you. You are not a holy people. You are not a holy priesthood. And now Malachi continues in chapter 2, starting at verse 10. And the question that comes up from the people is, well, are we not all one people? Do we not have one Father? What is your complaint? We're one big happy group of people. We're one happy nation. We've come back from Persia. We've come back here. We've rebuilt the wall. We've rebuilt the temple. We've got things going. And Malachi is voicing this complaint of God. And Israel is responding to Malachi by saying, well, we're all one people of God, aren't we? And Malachi is pointing out something here that I think we have a great time deal of misunderstanding even in our modern culture. In our modern culture, do not many people say, everybody has one God as their father? God is the father of everybody in the human race. So what does it matter whether you worship this way or that way, whether you're a Buddhist or a Muslim? All roads lead to God. God is your father. You ever hear that type of argument? You ever hear that? I'm sure you do. And so they dismiss biblical Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ as being an exclusive way of salvation by saying, all roads lead to God. God is our universal Father. And sometimes they even argue that from these verses here where Malachi asks that question, do we not have one Father? Are we not one people of God? But remember that Malachi is not speaking to the nations. He's not speaking to the Canaanites. He's not speaking to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all those peoples around in Canaan. He's speaking to the covenant people of God, whom God has chosen through Abraham and Moses and brought them into this land. Maybe 1,000 years earlier, God has instituted a covenant with a people, the Jewish people that he chose. Now, we know that the Jewish people rebelled, and they were often very wicked, and God was not pleased with them. And he had said way back in Deuteronomy, if you do things in a holy and righteous way, I will bless you. But if you do things in a dishonest and disobedient way, I will bring curses upon the nation and upon the people. And they ended up being carried away captive to Babylon in 586 BC. Now, they spent their 70 years in captivity, and they have come back. Now, if you remember what I said a few weeks ago, Malachi is prophesying somewhere around the time of 435 BC or so. Ezra and Nehemiah are his contemporaries. One is serving as governor, and one is leading the priesthood. They've rebuilt the city and the wall. They've got the sacrificial system up and running. They've got the priesthood up and running. And Malachi complained of how corrupt the priesthood was. And now Malachi's complaint is that you are a wicked people and you are profaning the name of God. You are profaning the covenant of God that he made with you when he chose you. How did they do that? And you might ask yourself, how do we do that? Are we not in a covenant relationship with God the Father? You see, here's the complaint that they're bringing here. Are we not one nation with God as their Father? Are we not a people loved by God? So again, let's understand the difference between the billions of people in the world who are created by God in his image, but are not necessarily in a covenant relationship with that God and can call him Father. There is not that universal fatherhood in that way where people are in relationship with God. You can only be in a relationship with God the Father now because of Jesus Christ the Son, the only mediator between an unholy people and a holy God. If you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not in relationship with God as Father. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, why would we have Jesus come and live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death as a substitutionary atonement for our sins? If all roads, all religions, all those things led to a relationship with God, it doesn't. There are billions of people in the world made in the image of God. They can recognize that God is their creator, and many people even deny that. Why do many people want to say, there is no God? I'm a product of evolution. I'm a product of all this chaos and chance. But the Bible is saying, no, I made you, and specifically to Israel here, I put you in a covenant relationship. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I instituted the terms of the covenant. And therefore, I have a people. It's a people loved by God, it's a people created by God, and it's a people in a relationship with God. This fatherly relationship is not a universal truth. Please understand that. It's only through God's covenant, and now the new covenant, the mediator of the new covenant is Jesus Christ. This should give us a passion to do evangelism, because we meet people all the time who are not in a covenant relationship with God. They cannot call God their Father. He does not call them sons and daughters. We should desire that these people who are currently lost should hear the gospel, should repent and call upon the name of the Lord and become a son and daughter of God the Father through Jesus the Son. It should give us a great desire to do evangelism because people are not in that relationship currently. You know, I was speaking to a Muslim man yesterday before Mark came into Dunkin' Donuts. I wanted to give him one of my new tracks. Are you ready? Basically, are you ready to die and stand before God? And I got about a 10-minute monologue back from him. You know, Jesus can't be the Son. You can't have a relationship with God. You know, Muhammad's the only great prophet, blah, blah, blah. I really didn't get hardly any words in edgewise there because he just kept talking. But he's not in a relationship with God. And that's their belief system. You can't have a personal relationship with Allah. And that's a sad thing. And we should want to see people turn from their sins and become sons and daughters of the living God, to God's glory, and yes, to their salvation. And so remember this great truth that God is the creator of all kind, mankind, but billions and billions of people are not in this relationship with God. And yet, Malachi is reminding the people of Israel, yes, you are in a covenant relationship with God. Now, here's my complaint, Israel. You have profaned this covenant. You have broken the terms of this covenant. You have dishonored this covenant that God has instituted. Now, we might want to know why. How do we do that? How did this people break this covenant? How did they profane God's name and his covenant he made? Well, Malachi explains what has happened here. And this is why I had you read Ezra chapter 9. Because Ezra points out, people come to Ezra and they're saying to him, Ezra, do you know what's going on? Here's what's going on, Ezra. People are marrying and giving their sons and daughters in marriage to people from all these other nations around this nation. And that was expressly forbidden that they should intermarry with the people of the foreign lands, the foreign cities around Israel. And this is Malachi's complaint. You have profaned the covenant of God by doing these things. What are they doing? They're marrying non-believers. That's a pretty powerful thing to think about. You know, in modern America, we don't think about that very much. I mean, we might think about that if we're really believers in Christ. We understand that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the believer should not be unequally yoked to the unbeliever. But the average person in modern America says, who cares? I'll marry who I want to. I'll marry who I think I love. I can marry anybody I want to, of any culture, of any religion, and we'll work it out somehow, right? Isn't that how modern man thinks? And unfortunately, that philosophy creeps into the church in modern America. That I can marry anybody I want to. It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter if they're believers in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Buddhist or Muslim or whatever. I can marry whoever I want to. Why is Ezra so upset? If you remember what Ben read, that Ezra was really upset when he heard this, that people were giving their sons and daughters in this intermarriage with people of these other religions around Israel. And some of the leaders were taking wives out of these nations. Why is Ezra so upset? Because they're breaking the covenant of God. They're breaking the commandment of God. God had said expressly, do not marry people of these other nations and their false religions. Now, there's a reason for that. God has set Israel apart and called them a holy nation. And for them to be a holy nation, he has given many commandments of the civil law in the Old Testament that said, don't do this, don't do that, do that. I'm setting you apart in many ways. You're not going to eat in the ways of these nations. You're not going to dress in the ways of these nations. You're not going to marry in the ways of these nations. Why? Because there's always compromise and worldliness that comes in then. So through the history of Israel, they have often practiced this problem of intermarriage. They have often brought the foreign women, the foreign sons, into their households with great dishonor to God and a corruption of the holiness of Israel. When there was that intermarriage, the other people brought their idols in. And they often turned the hearts of the people of Israel from worshiping the true and living God to worshiping these idols. These blocks of stone, these things of wood, these carved images, breaking the commandments of God that we just read a little bit earlier. One of the greatest examples was, there was a very wicked king of Israel. His name was Ahab. Remember, the Bible says there was none wicked like Ahab. He is about as bad as it got. And one of the things he did was he married a woman who was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Tyre. And her name was Jezebel, or the other spelling would be Jezebel. And what did she do? She brought Baal worship in to the whole country of Israel, and she fought fiercely against the true and living God and his prophets and all his people. To the point where if it hadn't been for Elijah standing up against her prophets on Mount Carmel, the nation probably would have been overrun with Baal worship. She absolutely hated the true and the living God. And that's just one example. Now, she was a queen and she had a lot of power. But that shows how what happens is the foreign gods come in. And the people of Israel were giving their hearts to the foreign gods, to the idols of the nation. And they were not giving their hearts to the true and living God. They were breaking those first and second commandments. And so here's what Malachi is saying. You have profaned God's institution of marriage. God made a covenant, and he told you, do not intermarry, and you're breaking the institution of marriage. You're a marriage. I'm not talking right now today. the institution of marriage. It's not being a holy institution. Why? Because if a young man marries a woman from this other culture with these other gods, the marriage often becomes corrupted and the hearts are turned to the idols. The same thing if a daughter is given in marriage. If a daughter goes in marriage to a Muslim man, she's most likely going to become like a Muslim because he's going to dominate her and tell her what to do, and it's going to be a Muslim household. I know a young woman who grew up in a local church and she married a Muslim. And now she's really a Muslim, and she hates Christianity. Well, I don't believe she was ever probably truly converted, but you just see that effect. And here's what Malachi is saying. God made a covenant. Marriage was instituted by God. It's an institution that's loved by God. It's blessed by God, but there were conditions for it. Believers of Israel should marry other people of Israel. And it's a holy institution. It's a good institution. Those of us who have been married know it's a good thing. And many people long to be married. But notice what God is saying. My people should marry people of my covenant. It's as simple as that. And remember in Mark chapter 10, the Pharisees and the lawyers came and asked Jesus, hey, is it okay to give a divorce? Can we write a letter of divorce? And Jesus said, what did Moses say? Well, they said, Moses said it was okay. Yeah, he said it was okay because you people are stiff-necked and have hard hearts. That's not what God intended. God intended that a man leave his parents and live with his wife. And what God united should always stay united, not be separated, unless there's a just biblical reason, and Jesus was implying that reason was unfaithfulness, adultery. And Jesus is affirming marriage in that passage. And somebody had an argument with me on Facebook about this, that, oh, it's just about divorce. No, the question was about divorce, but look what Jesus said. It's an institution created by God. It's one man with one woman. It's not to be broken. Unless there's unfaithfulness, it's not homosexual unions, it's a heterosexual union. And, you know, what Jesus' answer is covers a broad spectrum of what God intended for marriage. And he intended this to be a great covenant. Why? Because there are two people, husband and wife, together practicing the same true religion, worshiping God in their household, and they're teaching that then to their children. And that's a blessing to the whole nation. It's a blessing to the community. And now, You see why Ezra is so upset? What did Ezra do? He tore his clothes. He pulled out parts of his beard. He pulled out parts of his hair. He was really upset. And he spent the day in fasting before the evening sacrifice. Because this action by the people of Israel is bringing uncleanness and profanity to the name of God. And it's really destroying the whole fabric of society. Because it's going to interfere with that nuclear family and how the children are raised. Because they're going to grow up in an idolatrous household. And it's going to spread across the community and across the whole nation. And we've really seen this in the history of Israel. That this type of marriage has affected the whole nation. Because all this worship of Baal and other gods and Molech and gods like that have come into the nation, so the nation is living in a corrupt and profane way. They're not worshiping the true and living God. And even when they go and worship the true and living God in the temple, remember Malachi's complaint last week was, it's a corrupt priesthood. It's greedy, it's materialistic, it's immoral, and there's no righteousness anywhere. And so Ezra and Nehemiah and Malachi are very upset at this practice because it's not what God intended. Now, it's been profaned by men. Judah's men are marrying the daughters of foreign gods. That's basically what his complaint is. Notice what Malachi says. The man who does this will be judged. God does not tolerate this type of sinful behavior by his people. Now, this goes against the grain of everything we want to think about in modern America. In modern America, we want to again think that we can do whatever we want. We can do whatever pleases my heart. Isn't that the way we think? Isn't that the way many people think? That who is God to tell us how to marry? I can marry whoever I want. As long as it's done in the name of love, right? I love that person. I can marry that person. And yet the scriptures are saying that you're breaking and profaning the covenant if you intermarry with a believer who's marrying a non-believer. You're going to bring foreign gods. You're going to compromise your values. You're going to bring worldliness into your marriage. And so, why does this happen? Well, the man who does this is fully aware that he's disobeying God, I think. If he's honest, if he knows the scriptures, this is a challenge to us. This is a challenge to those who are single here. God wants you to marry a believer. Because otherwise, if you marry a non-believer, you're going to compromise your values. You're going to turn away from God. And God calls that sinful actions. And it's disobedience. It's deliberate sin. Man is rebellious, isn't he? Ever since Adam's fall, we all have that sin nature. And we all want to do what we want to do. We don't really care about the commandments of God. Let's stop for a second and let that sink into how we live. Are we not by nature rebellious? And we want to do what we want to do. You see, we're very much like the people of Israel back in the day of the judges. You remember the last verse of the book of Judges says, in those days there were no kings in the land, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And that is, again, not only the general human condition, but it's a condition often found in the modern American church. That we'll do what we want to. We'll worship the way we want to. God has no control over our lives. We do not have to obey God. We are rebellious by nature. Think about how that might creep into your value system. How you think about that. Are you rebellious against God, saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I really don't care what the commandments of God say. Think about that. Is that how we live? Man says it's okay to do what you want to do. It's okay if it's done in the name of love. Now, don't we hear that with the gay and lesbian, transgender, whatever, all those initials they have? That's community. It says, well, a man can marry another man as long as they love each other. A woman can marry another woman as long as they love each other. You can marry anybody. There are people arguing, well, if homosexuals can marry, if lesbians can marry, then I want to be able to marry an underage minor who's not old enough normally to give consent. They're already starting to argue this and try to fight for this in the courts. That older men are saying, I should be able to take a wife. Who cares if she's 9 or 10? They're arguing these things in the courts already. There are people arguing in the courts right now and say, well, if gays can get married, how come I can't marry my brother? There's a couple down in Texas, I think it is, that's fighting in the courts trying to say, this brother and sister say, we love each other, we should be able to marry. Again, you see, the standard becomes not the standard of a holy and righteous God, but the standard of whatever man thinks he wants to do to please himself. Because by nature, unless God intervenes and changes our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the gospel, we have this idolatrous love of self, an idolatrous love of money, an idolatrous love of pleasure. Those are three of our biggest idols. You can read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's what man does. And that's what Israel was doing. Israel is saying, look, I don't care what God said. There's this woman over here. She's cute. She's attractive. You know, I made an arrangement. You know, I don't care if she worships another god. I don't care about her idolatry. I want to marry her because I love her or something. And Malachi is preaching this strong message that that is profaning God's name. Maybe not with your mouth, but your actions are saying you really are a rebel who hates God. And God is saying through Malachi, I will judge men who do that. I will judge women who do that. These are very powerful words to think about. That we cannot say, I'll do what I want to do, without consequences of offending a holy and righteous God. This is Malachi's complaint. This was Ezra's complaint. This was Nehemiah's complaint. By the way, Nehemiah, when he heard this similar complaint, his reaction was to pull their hair out and pull their beard out. I like that. Ezra pulled his own hair out. But they were extremely anguished by this practice, because the practice brings idolatry into the nation and it brings false gods and a compromise of value and lots of immoral and unrighteous living as a result of it. And so Malachi has this strong warning. Yes, we are all the people of God, but if we continue to profane the name of God by breaking the covenant of marriage, then we're bringing destruction on us. He will judge our sin. That's pretty powerful words that we should think about. And what I want you to think about is, how does this philosophy creep into your life? How does it creep into my life? Now you might say, wait, you know, I'm not considering marriage, or I'm already married or something. But, you know, really what we do is we say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I really want to break God's commandments, and I want to continue having my love of pleasure and love of self and all that. Well, think about how this comes into your life. What might you be doing even today that says, I've actually kind of in a way given my heart in marriage to something foreign? I've given my love, not to God, but to the things of this world. That's why I wanted us to read 1 John chapter 2, where it says, do not love the things of the world. To love the things of the world is to turn your back on the living God. That's to say, I hate God and his ways. Where the psalmist in 119 says, I love the statutes of God. I love the law of God. The law of God is sweet to my soul. The law of God is good. I like His precepts. I like His statutes. But that's not the way we live in the modern church, is it? In the modern church, we're often like, I want to do what I want to do. I want to please myself. I really don't care what the Bible says. The Bible is not my authoritative standard. A lot of times people will say, I don't even believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. You ever hear that? You hear that, don't you? Or they might say, well, parts of it might be inspired, but the rest of it, I don't like that part. We basically pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want. So Malachi has this very strong message that to do these things is to profane the covenant of God. And he says that you people would do this. You know what you're doing? You're pretending to worship God. You go to the temple. You go through the routines. You think you're spiritual, but actually you're a hypocrite, rebel against God. Is that you today? Did you come to church on Sundays and say, I'm pretty good, but the rest of the week I'm going to live the way I want to live and I don't really care what God has to say? That's a challenge to us. We're to live for God 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and not say, well, yeah, I go to church on Sundays. I even go on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons. But my Bible is gathering dust throughout the week. And I really don't care what God says. Now, that shows up in many areas of life, brothers and sisters. People will say, well, I can fudge in my income tax. Who will know? God knows. People say, well, you know, I can go to the club and I can pick up a person and I can be immoral. Who knows? God knows. And he's calling us to a holy standard of living. You know, how do we talk and how do we act? We act every day as people who love God if we say, I'm a believer in Christ. And we should do that out of thanksgiving because he has saved us from our sins, hasn't he? He's given us righteousness and he's given us that gift of eternal life, which we never deserved. We were sinners. We're sinners saved by grace through faith. And that should change the way we live. But see, in Israel, Malachi is saying, this covenant that God has made with you, he's shown you great love all these years. He set you apart as a special nation that he loves, and you profane his name all the time. You don't really love him. You only pretend that you are spiritual and care about him. We should not live that way, brothers and sisters. Think about what Malachi is saying here, that we are called to be a set-apart people, and our devotion is to be to the true and living God, and not to all these foreign gods of the world that will corrupt us and destroy us. Let's look at the action points, if you have your outline. For next time, Read chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. I divided this up because he's going to talk about divorce. And I just thought it was way too much to handle in one message. So we'll look at that next time. But action point 2, do you act? In a mean and treacherous ways to brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, that was one of the complaints. You mistreat the people of Israel by breaking God's commandments, including the institution of marriage. Brothers and sisters, do you act in a mean way toward brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you hold grudges and have an unforgiving spirit to those whom Christ has purchased? We're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. How we treat each other should be on display to the world that we love each other because of Christ. It should not be a family full of bitterness and strife. Third action point, do you, so to speak, marry or attach yourself to the gods of this world? What might they be? Pleasure, money, love of music and even art and theater and all kinds of things that draw us away from the true and living God. What are the foreign gods, so to speak, of this world that you attach yourself to? And therefore, your heart is not fully devoted to King Jesus. What are some of these false gods that might be ruling your life today? I can't look into your heart and know what that might be. I can look at my heart and I know things that drive me away from God. I have to turn in repentance every day to serve the living God. What might be those things that are turning your heart away from full devotion to King Jesus? This lack of full devotion to King Jesus is why the American church is often very anemic. The world is more in the church than the church is in the world. What might it be in your life? And the last action point, do you pretend to be a good Christian, but really, deliberately, with your eyes wide open, you practice a particular sin all the time because you won't give it up? What might that be? God is calling us to repentance. We should think about how we talk, how we act, how we walk in this world. Our lives should be given over to King Jesus. You know, I was just reading a story about David Brainerd. David Livingston, of how devoted he was to Jesus Christ. He would not leave Africa because he saw the smoke of thousands and thousands of villages of people who did not know who Jesus was, had never heard of the gospel. And he had to take the gospel to them. He walked thousands and thousands of miles across Africa when there were no roads and no cars or anything like that to take the gospel to people. He would not leave Africa because he was devoted to Christ. The American church is very anemic because we don't pray and we don't evangelize. And we don't pray and we don't evangelize because our hearts are often governed by worldliness. Think about how that might affect you. How that might be creeping into your life. What is it that you're giving your heart to that's not of Christ? I can't answer it for you. You're going to have to do business with God and think about those things. Let us not profane God's name. Let us not profane God's name in the institution of marriage. Let us not bring these foreign gods into our lives. Idolatry is the number one sin all the time. It leads to everything else. Allow God's Spirit to search your heart today. Let's pray. Father, this is a powerful word from Malachi. I don't think we like hearing it because we really like to do what we want to do. Oh, Father, forgive us that. That our hearts might not be hypocritical, but our hearts might be given over to King Jesus in every aspect of life. Our money, our relationships, our marriages, how we raise our children, how we do our work in the workplace, what kind of students are we? Father, search us out so that the worldliness is driven out of our hearts and our hearts might be devoted fully to Jesus Christ. We pray that in His name. Amen. Thank you.